Hello and welcome to the Back at Work podcast. My name is Annika Hegeborn and this podcast is about what work life looks like today. This episode is now being recorded from tram number one in Helsinki. Tram number one is not only the way I usually commute to work on most days, but also maybe an interesting place considering today's theme. Today we're going to talk about artificial intelligence. How is AI and machines changing the nature of work, at least the kind of work that we do on laptops and in teams? I don't know, maybe the tram driver's job is safer than ours. Let's see what we, what our guest today has to say about that. AI is not really anything new. We've been talking about AI work for many years, but somehow during the year that I was at home, it took a giant leap forward. ChatGPT, for example, was launched, and it feels like now suddenly everybody around me is using AI to do their work better or faster, or just for pure entertainment reasons. Today I have Ralf Blomqvist here with me. Ralf is an experienced consultant, an author, an expert in, for example, customer relations. So, Ralf, what's the last thing you asked ChatGPT to do for you?
Well, look, I try to ask ChatGPT a lot of questions just for experimentation purposes. I think the last one was about sociology, in fact. I asked ChatGPT for a summary, which I often do. And this time it was Hartmut Rosa, a German sociologist, and his theories on resonance. So I asked for a half-page summary on Rosa's theory and resonance, comparing it to other sociologists. And that's a fairly decent answer. That included, for instance, Zygmunt Bauman and Anthony Giddens. So sometimes you wonder whether ChatGPT actually reads my brain too, and not only the internet.
Okay, so this time you chose to believe what this AI tool told you?
Yeah, well, look, this was a question that I had some prejudiced ideas, or actually some predisposed beliefs. So in that sense, it didn't come entirely out of the blue. So, but of course, I do fact check whatever I get. But that's, then again, that's sort of a more sort of serious note of using it. I also use it for, you know, just playing around. So yesterday, you know, when Sam Altman, when the news hit us that Sam Altman is quitting OpenAI, I just asked ChatGPT what would happen if Sam Altman would stop working at OpenAI, because ChatGPT, the free version, I think the data ends at 2021, so it's based on old data. So those sorts of answers can be quite fascinating. So it's worth playing around with.
Oh, that's very interesting, a very interesting experiment to do there. So just getting straight to the point of today, or the question of today, how do you see that AI is changing the way that we work day to day?
Oh, that's a massive question, Annika. I won't take a sort of 360-degree stab at that, but I'll raise a couple of thoughts, actually three thoughts that I have on that we see happening and see that has happened. The first one has to do with our relationships with machines, which is apparently changing fairly fundamentally. Essentially, up until now, when I wanted something done that was sort of computer-aided or computer-assisted, I needed somebody to tell the machine what to do, which we used to call coding or programming. But now with advances in AI, it's much more about telling the machine what I want. Mm. So I tell the machine the job that I should have done, instead of giving the machine instructions. So we sort of, that's a fundamentally different relationship with technology compared to the one that we've had before, which leaves me as an individual with much more control of the end result, I think. The second has to do with the way that we interact. So we talked a lot about talk, in fact, and how AI and how algorithms changes our conversations. So I'm having a conversation with now a human being talking to another human one-on-one. If I talk to Siri, or if I write a prompt for ChatGPT, or if I write something to a chatbot, I'm much more direct, I'm fairly blunt. My conversation, my language, my text is very sort of output-oriented. And that's fundamentally different. So there are things happening to the ways that we communicate, not only with that, but also with some of the whole language of emojis and symbols and whatnot. And I'm not sure it's a good thing. I don't know that yet, but it certainly is different. And the third thing that I came to my mind is actually who is doing the work. So a lot of work is now being outsourced, not only to AI and to algorithms and intelligent machines, but also to, for instance, customers. So we see that with sort of within my domain, that the customers actually do a lot of the work that formerly used to be done in offices or in customer service centers or whatever. So all sorts of algorithm and AI assisted self-service where everybody else is doing the job for the company. So that's three sort of reflections on that.
Yeah, those are really huge changes if you think about the way your day-to-day work would look like, because you're not really doing the same things. You can outsource sort of a certain task, routine tasks and other things. But as you said, like the way we communicate is changing because we're communicating more with machines. Do you think that plays in on how we then communicate with each other as with other humans? Like, do we start mixing up who we're actually talking to? Are we talking to machines or people?
That's an interesting question, but I mean, I think language is changing. But I think also, and sort of as an extension of that, probably learning and sort of teamwork would probably change too. Not that I have any clear idea yet on how that will play out in the future, but I mean, if you grow up with a sort of certain mindset about what communication is all about, what language is all about, the importance of text versus voice, for instance. I mean, look at the explosion of podcasts and audiobooks versus paper books. I mean, what will happen if we're more skilled at voice in the future and fairly crappy at writing? And I mean, writing has something now been, predominantly the form to show off your, skills in whatever profession you might have, not to mention research or the academic world.
Yeah, now you could just ask an AI tool to sort of write the text for you or make it sound smarter or sound something.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe that's a good idea. So maybe that's, I mean, the sort of positive note on that might be that we have more time to actually listen and communicate and reflect. So the technology is doing the basic work. Then again, we don't know yet.
So, still getting back to, so one thing that I think is really interesting about all this change happening is what does it do to sort of the work community and the like actually being at work and what are we at work? Are we an extension of the machine or is the machine just an extension of us? And what are we to each other? Sort of you were sort of already getting to this, that do we now have more time for human interaction at work or are we so focused now on being just hyper productive that we completely forget the human side? Which way do you think we're going?
Good question. And I mean, I think what we see now is a lot of panic. AI is stealing our jobs and AI is taking over everything and AI will destroy humanity and all that. And I know, I think one of the reasons behind that is probably that now it's AI is probably the first wholesale shift that is sort of hitting the middle class. I mean, we've had technology shifts before. I mean, look at when robotics and automation took over a lot of the manufacturing industry. That went fairly rapid too, within a decade or two. A lot of jobs just went out of the manufacturing industry and were outsourced to robots or to, automized processes. Nobody seemed to react as strongly, but now all of a sudden when it's the middle class who are sitting, in their teams meetings and wondering, about the meaning of life or at least the meaning of work, it comes much closer to a lot of people. So I find that kind of fascinating.
Yeah, definitely. It's getting closer to the middle class and all of us sitting here with their laptops and teams meetings. And I read somewhere a sort of a very disturbing headline that said that if you can do your job remotely, then you will be replaced by AI. Is this true?
Well, that's a good question. I guess it's a good proxy for whether you should be worried or not. I mean, sort of tactile skills, whenever you do something that you need to do with your hands or that involves sort of any form of physical activities, I guess you don't need to be that worried compared to if you're an accountant or a consultant or a lawyer or something like that. So I guess all sort of desk work with big proportions of tasks and routines that can be automated and involve repetitive work based on a lot of data information. I guess those should probably be a bit worried or see the possibilities. I don't know. I prefer to see possibilities rather than be worried.
So do we see any new jobs emerging? Like, are there any new jobs that will be required in the future now when the work life is changing?
Well, we see some jobs already emerging, but those are not probably the funny and creative jobs that you would think of. I'd rather, you know, group them under sort of the working in the AI salt mine, if you wish. So somebody has to train the algorithms. That's a typical work that needs to be done. And that's, you know, that's a low wage job that would be carried out, you know, not in Helsinki or not even in the tram number one or anywhere else, probably, you know, Malaysia or Philippines and places like that. So that's probably one sort of byproduct of the AI revolutions. Algorithms and AI needs to be taught, and that's not a skilled or well-paid job. But hopefully, I think if we can get rid of some of the routine work and outsource that to algorithms and AI, hopefully we can sort of allocate more of our day-to-day work to creating tasks, whatever that means. And of course, that varies a lot between professions and countries and industries. But in any event, less routines and more creative job. That's at least a hope.
So what are the positive sides in all of this then? What can you see positive changes that you think that will make work life better or nicer now with these new tools?
How long is this tram ride now? No, but really, I mean, back to the notion of sort of being liberated by AI in the sense that we can actually use technology in a more sort of personal way too. I mean, it's when the tools become more user-friendly, I can sort of hopefully have more control of my day-to-day professional life and how I spend my time and what I do.
Yeah, are they becoming like more user-friendly, more, that means sort of easier also, like more accessible, because it also feels that maybe still a few years ago, a lot of technology that was coming out, you needed sort of to be able to do coding or something to use it, but now it's maybe more intuitive, or what would you say?
Yeah, hopefully so, and also I think we'll probably get rid of the notion that AI is sort of a general purpose thing. We'll see more sort of niche AI applications and solutions and tools that helps you in your specific profession or in your specific tasks. So sort of getting away from the overarching theme of AI being something up there that is the same thing for everybody, into more sort of industry specific or profession specific tools and applications. So I think that's certainly one direction.
Yeah, that's really interesting. It feels like the opportunities are quite endless. It's already now very widespread, and there are all kinds of things you could do and tools that are offered. And who knows, like in a couple of years, what we have, it's going to be probably a very different ballgame already in 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, I think so. What is apparently happening is that the sort of the velocity of change is now different compared to previous technology shifts. But then again, that's we always say that now everything is faster and, you know, more, you know, imperative, and, you know, it's every time we have a new technology or a new shift, it's, you know, it's a threat to mankind, or it's new possibilities that we never seen before. So I guess that's part of the storytelling too. But I mean, I think also what we tend to forget is that technology is and has been embedded in our day-to-day lives already for a long, long time. I mean, the fact that you and I are found each other in the same tram, which isn't that easy in a small town like Helsinki, and sitting here and going on that particular time to that particular place, it's all due to algorithms.
Mm.
There is a human voice. Alma Persti is reading all the stops now, but I mean, it's the algorithm that, you know, is reading the stops. But albeit with a human voice. So it's already been there, so not all is new.
Yeah, so but all this talk about how AI is going to change the way we work and all the help it's going to give us and all the ways we can sort of make our work easier and flow more nicely, and we can outsource all the routines and tasks. It sounds amazing, but also it makes me worry about my own skills. It makes me wonder, what am I contributing to work? Like, what is it that will be left sort of for me to do. What is it that I actually call work? Is it just me giving prompts to AI? Okay, can you now do this and now do that? It's like some kind of producer? Or what are the skills that I will need? Will I need to learn? Like, is there any need? Is there a need for learning anymore?
Yeah, well, hopefully there is, and I'd be hard-pressed to think that algorithms are taking over the whole notion of intellectual development in this world. But I mean, back to what we need Annika for. I think we still need you for, or you know, need humans for a lot of things. And you know, the whole notion of, you know, conversations, co-creating things together by sort of you bouncing ideas off me and me doing vice versa with you based on, you know, your skill set and your experience and your, you know, day-to-day life, which is different from mine, and so on and so forth. So all these sort of tacit dimensions of what it means to be human, I don't think we'll find that in AI or algorithms anytime soon.
Yeah, maybe the surprising element also of humans. Humans are not coded in some way to do exactly. They might surprise you more maybe than machines that are programmed to do a certain thing and give you certain results. My question was quite dystopic and sort of maybe bring out the worst sides of what people feel when they think about AI. Sort of the feeling that it will take all our jobs, or it will create us, like make us into a sort of just extension of the machines. And of course, that doesn't sound very nice. Do you think that there will become like a stronger reaction, like a backlash from either older generations or younger generations of not wanting to implement all these AI tools in their day-to-day life? Or is this something that will just, everybody will just have to accept it and there will be no counter movement or something like that?
Isn't there always a counter movement, I guess, Annika, and just the notion of everybody doing the same thing in this individualistic sort of post-industrial world is probably, that idea has come out of the window a long time ago. So I mean, we see it already with, you know, digital detoxes and opting out and doing something else. Of course, the trick is that if you want to opt out, you have to tell everybody on social media that now I'm off for a week. Otherwise, they wouldn't know. So I mean, maybe we're a slave under all this after all. But I mean, the world has been tech-driven for decades already. Mm. But I don't see any sort of decrease in creativity or in socializing just because of that. I guess we're fairly adept now at, you know, just doing what we do and get along with our day-to-day lives and just using technology for good purposes. And of course, I see sort of shadow sides of this. We do a lot of work with the public sector, with cities and municipalities and whatnot. And for instance, looking at the whole notion of loneliness, which is a massive societal challenge, a societal issue, at least in the Nordics. And I mean, if you're lonely, you can always have an algorithm or an AI as a friend. And they're easy. They always, sort of, you always get an instant response. They're always on, always there. They confirm your ideas, they confirm your beliefs. So just another worry, I guess. Will we get rid of the big societal issues, for instance, loneliness through technology? I'm not sure about that. Also, for work life, I mean, now knowing that remote work can be fairly lonely, and a lot of people do prefer solitude for good reasons, but in any event, how will that sort of spill over into the way that we learn and develop not only as individuals, but as teams and organizations?
Mm, exactly. Okay, so maybe if we now have somebody out there listening to us and feeling very worried about everything that we're saying and terrified that they will lose their job or that they will change it completely to something completely different that they don't recognize anymore, what would you recommend that they do now, maybe to calm them down a little bit?
Apart from having a cup of tea or a drink, well, look, experimenting is a good thing to start doing if you haven't, and AI is easy to experiment with in terms of the fact that there are a lot of tools out there that are either quite cheap or even for free. So just start playing around with ChatGPT or DALL-E or Midjourney or something and see what you can do with it. and don't take it too seriously. Everything doesn't have to be for a purpose. That's one thing, and also I think try to catch up with people who are different from who you are, who live a different life, who have different hobbies, who have a different relationship with technology, and just observe them and see what they are doing. Because normally, we tend to create our bubbles with people that think alike and have the same interests and the same values and all that. So just go out there and look for the not so normal and see what you can find out.
Yeah, it is sort of like that. Usually, the people that we mostly socialize with or work with tend to think a lot like us. So maybe if you feel that you're in a bubble where there is a certain type of talk about the future or AI or anything else work-related, it's always a good idea to maybe find the other bubble to check like what's going on there and just maybe to compare, and maybe you can then go back to your own bubble and with a sigh of relief that, okay, I was right and they are wrong. But maybe more probably, you might find something interesting and maybe a point that, okay, that's also a fair point and I could learn something from that.
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, the tricky thing with AI and algorithms is that they tend to reinforce our bubbles. We see more of the information and more of the friends that have the same ideas or spend time on the same social media platforms and whatever. So it takes more of an effort now to get out of your bubble than it used to do. But it's certainly worth it.
One more question. This triggered a question in my mind. Are there people who know better
how AI is now. I mean, if you want to take the sociologist that I mentioned when we started this podcast, read what Hartmut Rosa is saying and read what Sigmund Bauman is saying. Sort of two informed versions of the state of the world back in the days that I still holds a lot of validity for the times that we're living in right now. So that's one thing, just go back in time and find ideas that are sort of technology independent. And by way of researchers who are now sort of looking at AI but with different lenses than technology, I'd strongly recommend an Australian called Anthony Elliott. He's a sociology or renowned researcher. He's written a whole host of books on artificial intelligence. Not from technology point of view, but rather what it's doing to individuals.
Yeah, so it's a huge topic, yes, for today, and I don't think we can cover it all in the length of this tram ride, because we are coming closer to the end stop of the tram line. So maybe trying to pull it all together, we are looking at a very, very quick development, so it's difficult to say what we will be looking at in a couple of years from now, even. But the one good tip that you gave was to talk to other people and look around and try it, because you said it's quite easy to try. You're not gonna lose much by testing it and trying it out in different ways and see what it can do for you and how it can help you in your job. I think that's a good starting point. And then let's try to still be human still a couple of years from now. Agreed?
Agreed. And you're off to a Teams meeting now, and I'm off to have a good espresso made by hand by a real human being. So there you have the diversity of day-to-day life.
Great. Okay, thank you very much for this chat, Ralph. And enjoy that coffee.
I will. My pleasure, Annika. Thanks very much.